Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am your host, Dr. Tan of Tana Ministries, and I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast. Tonight, I come before you to give you some inspirational nuggets to carry you through the week. And tonight's podcast is entitled, God's Favor Attracts Attacks. Again, the podcast is entitled, God's Favor Attracts Attacks. When you think about the word favor, we can define it as support or approval or to be liked by a certain group, to be esteemed by a certain group. But when you talk about favor from a spiritual perspective, it means God's blessings, his grace, and his mercy that has been bestowed upon an individual. It is a direct result of one's faith and obedience that this divine favor and or divine intervention is bestowed upon them. And so how do you obtain favor? You obtain favor through developing a personal relationship with Christ to become a servant leader. So let's talk. I'm going to name them and then we'll talk about them for just a bit. Through obedience, being humble, to live righteously, to pray about everything, to seek God's face and wisdom, to stay in his word, and then self-accountability. And so when we think about developing a personal relationship with Christ, that means to accept him as your personal savior and allow him to be the head boss or the person that is in charge of your life. In other words, you seek him in all things. And when you allow him to lead and guide and direct you, then all things, every aspect of your life aligns and comes together and works together. To become a servant leader is just that. In order to understand how to lead, you have to first learn how to serve. And so Jesus was a great example, the best example of servant leadership. He did not have to serve his people, but he did. He was not boastful and prideful and arrogant, and he didn't use his power to oppress or abuse anyone. He was humble, he was righteous, he was compassionate, he empathized with people, he wanted people to be saved, to know that God was the great I am. And so he wanted people not to only be physically blessed, but to be spiritually blessed so that they could get the reward of eternal life with his heavenly father. And so obedience just means that, you know, there's a scripture that says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so God just wants us to do right and to live righteously and to live according to his rules and laws that he's put in place or his commandments that he's given us, that we live in such a way that shows that there is Christ in our life. And so obedience is very important. And then humbleness is really important as well, because sometimes as humans, we can get all boastful and brag about the things we have acquired, the positions and titles that we have been blessed with, and whatever the case may be. And then we begin to look down on other people because they are not where we are. And so anytime that we think that we have arrived, then that is not of God. In other words, no matter what possessions that we have acquired, what titles, positions, what type of land, businesses, houses, homes that we have, doesn't matter how many degrees we have, how many zeros we have behind the number in our bank account, because we are all one and the same. One thing for certain is that we all have sinned, according to Romans 3:23, and fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us have the right to boast and brag and to think that we have arrived or that we're more than the other. We're all in the same boat, seeking God's grace and mercy so that we can get to that eternal place to rest with him forever. And so the next one is to live righteously. And this just means to do right. Sometimes we're going to fall short of doing right, but 9 times out of 10, we should live a life that is one of righteousness. And even when we mess up, if we slip up, to ask for forgiveness, to seek forgiveness and to turn from our ways. In other words, the Bible talks about to forgive and repent, to seek forgiveness and repent. And so we have to be mindful that when we fall short, that we have to seek the forgiveness of God and then repent and turn from our ways and ask him to help us, because a lot of us are dealing with strongholds that we try to do right. And then somehow we find ourselves back in the same situation or a similar situation that we ask God to deliver us from. And so we have to understand that in all that we do, we can't do anything without him. And so even with the strongholds that we face, we have to seek God to how to deal with it, seek his help, his strength. He says, when we are weak, he is made strong. And then scripture also tells us in Corinthians, it says that there's no temptation uncommon to man that God has not provided a way of escape. And so anything that we would ever face, anything that we are going through or that we will ever go through, God has already provided a way of escape. He already has a ram in the bush. He already has devised a plan to get us safely to the other side. And so what we have to do is to seek him and trust him in all our ways. And so this is very important, to pray about everything. I know that some people may think that, you know, they pray about certain things, but Thessalonians tell us to pray without ceasing. And so that means that we need to pray all the time, pray wherever we are, pray about everything, pray about, you know, should you go to this place or that place? Should you go this direction or that direction? Because at the end of the day, God is omniscient. That means he's all knowing. He knows everything before it happens, when it's going to happen. He knows what we need to do and what we do not need to do. And if we are mindful to pray about everything, the Holy Spirit is quick to remind you of what you shouldn't do. When you get that little nudge in your spirit that this ain't right, or maybe I shouldn't do this, that's the Holy Spirit guiding you. That is divine protection, redirecting you in a different direction so that you can stay safe. And so when you start to suck with God, you start to study his word, you start to seek him where he may be found, then you'll be able to hear that quiet, still voice that is speaking to you every day to guide and direct you so that you can have an abundant life. And so the next one was to seek God's face and wisdom. And I just talked about that with the praying about everything. And then to study his word, we talked about that. And then self-accountability. I hit on that too when it talked about making sure you are asking for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, and then repenting. Because we have to be accountable to self. It's easy to point the finger at other people, to point out their flaws, but we got to work on ourselves. And if we're working on ourselves, case in point, it's hard to be looking at somebody else's business and determining what they're doing and what they're not doing, because we are too busy working on ourselves, asking God to show us, to create in us a new heart, to light up or illuminate the areas that we need to improve on. And so we have to be mindful that we are not so judgmental to the point where we can point out everybody else's issues and their flaws, and we're not looking at our own. And so those are ways to obtain favor. We're all a work in progress. We're seeking God's guidance to help us. Every day is a daily battle. Every day is an opportunity to get better than you were the day before. Every day is a day to grow stronger in your faith and in your understanding of God's wisdom and power. And so we talked about what favor is, both naturally and spiritually, and then we talked about how to obtain favor. And so I want to read this scripture, Proverbs 8:35. The entire chapter, that entire chapter, Proverbs 8:35, or division, some people call it that. It says wisdom, and it's about wisdom and folly. Okay, and folly means not thinking. Not following God's way. And so when you're not seeking God's way, then you will end up into folly, which is foolishness. And so I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to point out a few things. Romans, Proverbs 8:35 is the actual scripture, but I wanted to just point out another one. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." 13 says, Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and a froward mouth do I hate." Eight and 17 says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." 8:20 says, "I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." 8:33 that'll go into 35. It says, 8:33 reads, "Hear instruction and be wise." Well, let me go back up. Let me go to 8:32. It says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." And 36 reads, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death." And so I just wanted to read just a few of those scriptures in Proverbs 8, focusing on 8:35, that talks about he who findeth him findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And so we're talking about favor tonight, but the whole chapter of Proverbs 8 is a very powerful chapter to read if you have time in your leisure. And so we're going to move forward on in my message tonight when we talk about God's favor attracts attacks. And so I want you to think about this. Think about why his favor attracts attacks. First and foremost, let's think about an analogy. Think about something sweet, maybe candy or some syrup wasted on the floor or somewhere. It's going to attract ants, bugs, and maybe even rodents. Think about lemon being wasted or something sour, like lemon or something that is sour to the taste being wasted. It doesn't attract too many bugs, rodents, ants. It actually repels it. And so you want to think about Jesus, the light of Jesus, and how Jesus is the light of the world, and he said he will draw all men unto him. And so light also attracts bugs and things. If you go outside your home, you get your light on, you'll see these little bugs floating around your light bulb. It attracts light. The light attracts darkness. If you go into a dark room and you flip the light on, then the light dissipates the darkness. In other words, there is no, you do not see any darkness because the light has eradicated all the dark places in that space. And so you think about Jesus being the light and the enemy being the darkness. And so you understand now that because Jesus is the light and he is the Son of the Most High God, then that would also indicate that we as believers, as followers, as worshipers of Christ, that we, when we receive favor of God, that we would attract attacks as well. And so let's just talk about some people that attracted attacks. And the reason why I'm talking about the attacks is not to bring light to the enemy and his tactics. It's to inform you and to remind you of the power that you have on the inside of you when these attacks happen. And so let's think about some people. Let's think about Noah. Noah was talked about. He was trying to get the people to be saved. He was warning people, hey, listen, I was instructed by God to build this ark. And if I were you, I would turn from your ways and join me to do as God says. They thought he was crazy. He's building this ark. They was like, what flood? It's not a flood coming. What are you talking about? You know, you're building this ark for what? They thought he was crazy, not knowing that God was preparing Noah for this flood. They didn't understand it. They weren't trying to understand. But what God did is all the people that were attacking him, because he had the favor of God on his life, because God was speaking to him about a particular moment in time that would manifest itself in the natural. And so sometimes when God is speaking to you, just like he was speaking to Noah, people are not going to understand your assignment. They're not going to understand why you are doing what you do. And even when everybody else is going in another direction, Noah did not follow the crowd. He decided to follow God because he knew that in the end, God was in full control. And so you have to be mindful too, that when just because a large crowd is gathering and it seems like they got momentum and it is popular, does not mean that it is purposeful. It does not mean that God has ordained it or that he has his hand on those people in that group. So you want to be mindful to make sure that you seek God where he may be found, to make sure that the direction that you're going is one of God's, is God's direction, is inclined by him. He's leading you in this way and not that you're following man. And so we see that Noah received favor of God because he was spared from the destruction of the flood. When you talk about Joseph, sometimes we know what happened with Joseph. He went from the pit to prison to the palace. And so he had the three P's, but in every area that he went from the pit to the prison to the palace, he still had favor and he still was on purpose. And so sometimes we're going to go through some attacks. You know, the Bible talks about that we are born into sin and that we're going to have adversity in this life. We're going to go through some things, but he says to, in James, he says to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations because it worketh your patience. In other words, he's saying, you know, even though you're going through it, you need to be grateful because I got you. It's working your patience. It's also building strength and your faith in him. And so that you know that no matter what happens, that you can't be moved because your foundation is the solid rock of Christ. And so God allowed Joseph to go through this not to break him down, not to destroy him or to discourage him, but to build him up. And a lot of times the test that we're going through is not so much for us, but it's for somebody else, because God has entrusted us. He's given us a tailor-made journey so that when we go through something, he knows who he can count on to give him the glory, even in the midst of something that is so troublesome. Look at Job. Even in Job's situation, he gave God all the glory. He still worshiped and praised him. And so God saying, I can count on you, that even when you feel like all his everything is going in the opposite direction, everything is going wrong, that even though it's not going the way you've planned it, even though you're going through a little suffering right now, it's not compared to the eternal glory that will be to come. And so even though you're going through these things right now, you're still willing to give me the praise. You still understand that there's no situation that is too hard for God. Genesis says, is there anything, Genesis 18 and 12, I believe, says, is there anything too hard for God? And we will say, no, there is not, because we know that God is in full control. And so we look at Joseph, and he was betrayed by his family. And so you have to understand that even in Timothy, it talks about a lot of different things, that you have mothers against daughters and sons against fathers and all these things that are happening. And so you got to understand that even with family now, used to be a time that, you know, the saying is blood is thicker than water. But now we've getting into these turbulent times, these trying times, where the spirit of offense is running rapid, where the spirit of division is running rapid, where the enemy is using people based on the things that they're going through to get to have a foothold, to get into their life and to wreak havoc on people's families, on people's homes, at your workplace, or wherever you may be. And you can see the spirit of the enemy creeping in. And so when we see those things happening, we have to be mindful to stand on the word of God. It does not mean that we won't go through. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, it did not say that the weapon wouldn't form. It just said it wouldn't work. And so we have to give God the glory and give him the praise to know that he is in full control of all things that are concerning us. And so Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. They sold him into slavery. Could have died, but God had a plan. And in the end, you know, this is what God will do. People are plotting against you, digging ditches, trying to sabotage you. They can't. And one thing you have to understand, that whatever God ordains, he maintains. They can't touch you. They can't stop you, and they can't block you. All that they do is they just help you to get to the place to where God wants you to be. So you're going through this test. And so God is allowing you to go through this test to purge you of things that are not like him and to strengthen you in the things that are of him. And so he do this so that when you get to that level of elevation, when you get to that level of promotion, you can handle the wiles of the enemy that are going to come at you. So we are all in preparation. Every attack, every trial and tribulation is a test. It is preparation for your next. And so we have to understand that we be giving the enemy giving him too much credit, because at the end of the day, God even uses our trials and tribulations to elevate us. He says he'll make your enemy, Psalms 37 and 23, I believe, says he'll make your enemy your footstool. And so in other words, he's saying it's nothing the enemy can do to you, because whenever they come at you, I'm going to raise you up. Isaiah 40 and 31 says you'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. In other words, he'll raise your standard. And so we don't have to worry about what the enemy is doing. We just got to make sure that we are grounded in the word, and we know that God is in full control. In other words, we understand that God's favor attracts attacks. And so Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, but God positioned him to bless them in the end. Scripture tells us that when you do good to people that mistreat you, that heaps hot coals over their head. They want you to react like them, but your destiny is too great. You have to be careful, because it's easy for us as as man, as humans, because we are emotionally driven to respond in the same way that they respond to us. Now, I'm not telling you that you let people run over you, mistreat you intentionally, or manipulate you, abuse you. You do have a right to stand for yourself, but you don't have to mistreat them back. You don't have to act the way they act. You still can bless them and still separate yourself at the same time. You can still be cordial and separate yourself at the same time. I mean, if you know that somebody doesn't mean you any good, would you sit there and allow them to intentionally sabotage you knowing that? No, you wouldn't. You would protect yourself, but you could still be cordial and separate yourself at the same time. And so we talked about Joseph. We know that with Noah, you can't follow the crowd. You got to follow God. We know that with Joseph, sometimes it's your own family that has an issue with you. But even at that, God will still raise you up so that when they need you, you can bless them too. All right. Then sometimes it happened as leaders. And so we got two avenues or two perspectives as a leader. Sometimes as a leader, and we're going to use Moses and Pharaoh, and both of them were leaders, right? And so Pharaoh had this thing. He thought he was in control when he really wasn't. He was doing everything he could to show that Moses was not the called of God. Now, this is the thing. When you are the called of God, when God has a purpose for your life, and he has a purpose for all our life, when he has his hand on you, when he has encamped you with protection and direction, when he's sent his ministering angels to lead, guide, and direct you, when God is guiding or ordering your steps, because it talks about it in Psalms that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And so when he's doing these things, we have to understand that he has us. Now we wonder why. Well, you know, when you accept Christ, and why all these things happen. Well, we just talked about it. Why are the attacks coming? I thought when I accepted Christ as my Savior, the attacks would stop. What I just told you, God's favor attracts attacks. You should expect that. That's what happens. We talked about the light and the darkness. We talked about the sweet treats and the sour things. You should expect it, because what happens is God's word is sweet. And it's he talks about how his word turns away wrath, but the way the enemy would have you respond, it conjures up dissension. So you got to look at it in that aspect. But Moses, every time he went, he had a test. The enemy, Pharaoh, was adamant. He thought he was really doing something to stop Moses. He was so blind by his sinful desire that he couldn't see the hand of God on Moses' life. And that's what happens when you are faced with attacks from people. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, because a lot of times they're so sinfully driven, they can't see their wrong. And we'll get into that. But so Pharaoh, in one instance, Pharaoh told them that the firstborn Hebrew boy, baby boy, will be put to death. Now, you know, you can get to the point where when you're working on the enemy side, that you get so caught up in this vicious cycle that you don't realize that whatever you speak into existence normally comes back to you. That's called reaping what you sow. So he spoke it against Moses' child, and end up it knocked at his door. Think about when Moses could have gave up. He could have got discouraged, but he knew that everywhere he went, God was with him. And so when they got to the Red Sea, and Moses said, I need you to help me to deliver your people. This is where we are. And he was instructed to hold his rod, his staff across, stretched his arm across the water, and it parted. And then, you know, Pharaoh had stopped. He was good at one point. He had let the people go, and then he allowed someone to get into his wife, to get into his ear with dissension, with hatred, with all of that thing. And what he did cost all of the people that was following him their lives. They got swallowed up in the water. What people don't understand is God always wins. He's always going to be victorious. He's never going to fail. But what a lot of people don't realize is that sometimes we forget that God is victorious because we keep looking at the crisis instead of the Christ in us. And we get caught up in our emotions and the situation that's happened at that particular time. But we got to remember where our help coming from. It says, look to the hill from whence all our help cometh. And so we have to be mindful of that. And so the two leaders, you had one following Christ or one following God. Moses was following God and the other one was following an idol God. Who do you think was going to win? And you would have thought that every time Moses was Pharaoh or Moses defeated Pharaoh, that he would have got the message. But this is what I want to talk to you about. He couldn't get the message because we're fighting a spiritual battle. You see, you can talk to a person all day, and if they are feeding the spirit of the enemy, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face. They're not going to change. The only thing that will make them change, and this is sometimes, is that when what they have spoken or plotted for someone else, it falls on them. Sometimes that causes people to change their ways and to rethink their actions. And then sometimes it does not. And so in that instance, it's not for us to wonder when their payback is going to come or when it's going to happen. And I know it's human nature to be like, they keep doing this and this and this. And Lord, I'm trying to figure out when you're going to come. They just getting away with highway robbery. I know that's how we feel, because we feel like we're being pressed down. We're being persecuted. We're being overlooked. We're being mistreated, wrongfully accused, and all these different things. And so that is the natural mindset. But we have to understand that God's time is not our time. His ways are not our ways. Isaiah talks about it, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He don't think the way we think. He's not going to handle the situation the way we handle it. But just because we don't see anything happening, don't mean God is not working. He said, the scripture tells us he never sleeps nor slumbers. So he's always alert, always looking. He sits high and looks low. He sees all things, knows all things, and he will handle those things according to his will and purpose and time. And so What we have to do when we encounter people that are operating in a spirit of the enemy is we got to pray for them and ask God, how do we deal with them? Because what I realize is that when people are dealing with a spirit of offense, some people are dealing with a spirit of offense. They have been wronged. And what they do is because they have been wronged, they take it out on everybody else instead of seeking God to help them heal and to heal holistically. They try to handle it on their own. And guess what? None of us can handle anything on our own. That's why scripture tells you to come as you are, because God says you ain't got to wait till you clean yourself up. Come as you are. I'll clean you up. He's the only one that can clean us up, make us whole, make us over again, rejuvenate us, to encourage us, to renew us, to make us a new creature in Christ. Behold, all old things are passed away. And it talks about being a new creature in Christ. And so he's the only one that can do that. We can't do it by ourselves. So we have to pray, because the spirit of offense, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of envy, covetousness, the spirit of hatred, the spirit of murder, all these different spirits, demonic spirits, negative spirits, the spirits of the enemy, they're prevalent. And some people are dealing with spirits that they don't realize that they're operating in, because they haven't took enough time to develop a personal relationship with God. Or maybe they have developed that personal relationship and then something happened and they kind of retracted or went back, because maybe they felt that God should have done this and it didn't go that way. And so sometimes people believe God until something happens, and then they take a step back from God. But what we have to understand is that God is merciful and he loves us. Everything that he does for us is because He loves us and said he's so faithful. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And we have to understand that the things that are happening in the world is not God's doing. It's man. It's the spirit that we're operating in. God is not orchestrating these things. He is still in full control because we have a choice to make. We have a choice to serve him or to choose the enemy. And so right now it's high time to choose him, because things are, you see that the Bible is fulfilling itself, and you're going to see some more things that are going to happen and come to pass that you would least expect. But this is the time that you need to dig in and to seek God. You need to make sure that your foundation is on a solid rock. You need to make sure that your relationship with him is intact. You need to make sure that you are strengthening your faith by studying the word and supping with him every day, praying throughout the day, seeking him where he may be found, because it's going to get real. It's real now, but I'm just telling you, it's going to get to a different extent. It's going to get to a place of unbelief when you see certain things happening around the world, when you see certain catastrophes, certain natural weather events happening, when you see certain things happening in communities with people and certain acts of violence that are happening, things that are going to be happening. And it's happening now. You're seeing it. And it's at a rapid rate. And people are saying, you know, this place and this place. Guess what? Sin is everywhere, and it knows no color. It knows no gender, and it doesn't know any age. Sin is a character issue. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin, how old you are, where you live at, your zip code, what kind of house you got, how much money you got in the bank, what your political preference is. It doesn't matter what organization you belong to. It's a character issue. It's a heart posture thing. It's who you believe in. That's what sin is. And guess what? Sin is everywhere. If you move to a town that has a lesser amount of incidents when it comes to crime, it's still crime. There's not a place in the world that does not have crime. There's not a place in the world that does not have sin. It's a heart issue. It's a character thing. And so we have to pray for those people that we know that are dealing with certain things that affect us indirectly, that might affect them directly. We also have to pray and cover ourselves so that we don't develop those same spirits, because we're not exempt. We are all human. And any type of trial or tribulations can send us into that type of spiritual realm where we are doing the same things that we talk about the people doing to us. So we have to be mindful to not think that we are more than them, that it can't happen to us, because no one is exempt. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all can fall short. We can all do something that could cost us everything we have worked for. All of us are just one step away. And the only way we stay connected, rooted, and grounded is by the word of God, is by allowing him to permeate our hearts, to allow his light to infiltrate our lives, so that he's working on the inside out. So what we produce on the outside is a result of the Christ that's on the inside of us. And you have to understand, when people are dealing with hurt or whatever it is, and they're operating that negative spirit, that spirit of division, the spirit of the enemy, because he just needs a foothold to get in. Most of them are blind. Most of the time when they're oppressing you and mistreating you, they're blind to their actions, because they are satiating their fleshly desires. So they don't realize that they are choosing their fleshly desires over God's will for their life. And it's hard to get them to see. You ever talk to someone that's an alcoholic and you know they're an alcoholic, but you ask them and they don't think they're an alcoholic. Guess why? Because they have not sat down and just take a deep look, self-accountability, to see their actions and how it directly affects them and indirectly affects someone else. They don't think it's a problem. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face, and until they realize how it is affecting people, how is it actually affecting them, they're not going to change if they want to change because they still got free will. And so this is just a prime example. They think that they're fine. They think that you're nitpicking because the sin has blinded them from seeing the truth. And that's why scripture tells us that the Son will set you free and free indeed. In other words, developing a personal life, developing a personal relationship with Christ will set you free. It will take all the chains and shackles that have bound you to sin, that have bound you to strongholds. It will release them. It will break them. You will be set free. You will no longer be hindered by your past, no longer be hindered by past situations, issues, relationships that are not of God. It will break that spirit of bondage over you. And the enemy knows that. So what does he do? He sends traps that are disguised as godly interventions, relationships, situations, opportunities, because you're not trying to spirit by the spirit. And so he sends these traps to entice you. And then once you get caught up, it's hard to get in from being entangled into that web of deceit. But that's why you got to pray about everything, because if you pray about it, everything, that when the enemy tries to send these webs of deceit, these wolves in sheep clothing, you're able to discern by the spirit that this is not the will of God. Now, even when people oppress you, and I'm almost finished, sometimes they don't realize the magnitude until they reap what they sow. And let me give you an example. We talked about Moses and Pharaoh. When he lost his son, he realized the magnitude of his selfish drive to destroy Moses and the fact that he believed in the Most High God. But it cost him his son's life. And for a moment, he thought about it. But then what did he do? Still didn't have a renewing of his mind, as Roman talks about, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? He didn't have that. He was still seeking worldly, fleshly desires instead of seeking God. He conformed. He was not transformed. And so he sought out to destroy Moses again. Even after that devastating loss, that's what sin will do. It cripples you. It blinds you. It keeps you from the truth. And what I want you to know from that is that regardless of your favor and how God blesses you, how he protects you, leads and directs you, it's not contingent on people's approval. Doesn't matter what they think about you, how they like you, if they like you or not, if they support you or not. You know, Romans 8 and 31 says, if I be for you, I'm more than the world against you. You don't need nothing but his support. God will cause you to have favor with men. He will have men to pour favor into you. And we're going to talk about that because I'm going to tell you about Abraham. Abraham had the favor of God. Abraham received a promise that through him, his descendants will be a great nation. This includes me and you. Did he not? He had the favor of God on him. He was blessed. Okay. And so this priest named Melchizedek, who was also, he was a priest of the Most High God, and he was also the king of Salem. You know, scripture talks about when Abraham came back from battle, that king or the priest Melchizedek blessed him with a feast that was befitting of somebody of royalty. It was a magnificent feast. And he spoke blessings over Abraham's life as a sign of respect for him and his relationship in favor of the Most High God. And as a result, Abraham blessed him with a tithe of his spoil. In other words, he gave him a tenth of his spoil, or a tithe, a portion of his spoil from the battle. Now, in that, when we talk about leadership, both of them were leaders in their own right. There was no jealous or envious because guess what? They both realized that they were both blessed by the Most High God. God has enough favor to go around for all of us. Every person in the world, he has enough favor. He's just that big of a God. He got it. He can do all things but fail. And so we don't have to try to, you know, manipulate people or to sabotage people or to try to outdo people, undermine people to get where we are. If you believe in God, you know that what he ordains, he maintains. If you believe in God, you know that promotion don't come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Lord. If you believe in God, you know that when the time is right, he's going to make it happen. You don't have to rush. You don't have to try to overlook someone or you don't have to try to outdo somebody else, because his favor is tailor-made for you. Whatever he blesses you with is your blessing. There's a song, God's got a blessing with your name on it. If your name is on the blessing, can't nobody else get it. You don't have to fight for position. You don't have to sneak behind people's back, plot, pick. You ain't got to do all that, because God already has ordained what he is going to bless you with. And he has your name on it. A lot of times we got all these blessings stored up and we can't get them because we ain't acting right. Because we think that we got to mistreat somebody else, step on somebody else's neck to get where we got to go. You don't have to do that. Priest Melchizedek or King Melchizedek and Abraham showed us that we can have mutual respect for one another, understanding that what God has blessed me with is my blessing, and what he's going to bless you with is your blessing. And I don't have to be upset about what he's blessed you with, because I don't know what you went through to get it. And that's what we don't see. We don't understand that. We see the glory, but we don't know the background story. We don't know what people went through to get to where they are. We just see the gratification. We covered. We want what they have. You don't have to do that, because God has a blessing with your name on. And the same thing for the people that's doing you like that, in whatever capacity that they are. If it's on your job, it's in your family, or whatever it may be, if it's in your friendship. You don't have to be envy of the next. If God is blessing somebody close to you, that means he's in your neighborhood. You might just be next in line. You just got to be patient and wait. I know for me, I don't want nobody else blessing. I'm not going to try to undermine nobody, mistreat them. If I can't help you, I sure not going to hinder you, because I understand that my blessings are tied to my obedience and my heart posture, that God blesses me for my faithfulness. For my faithfulness and obedience. And so I don't have to try to mistreat you or to put you down to get to where I am, because I understand that my blessings, my promotion comes from him. I understand that everything, my job is just a resource, but God is my source. I don't have to do that. All I got to do is to be still, Psalms 46 and 10, and know that he is God. I don't have to move. I don't have to do things that are not of Christ. I don't have to be sneaky and have side conversations and plotting. I don't have to do that. All I got to do is be still and know that he is God. And what happens is, when you be still and you let God be God, because he's the only one that can do it, all things, the good and the bad, Romans 8:28, works together for your good if you love the Lord and been called according to his purpose. It works out for your good. Everything works. Everything you touch. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it talks about all the blessings talks about you'll be blessed in the country and blessed in the city. You'll be blessed above and blessed beneath. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be a lender, not the bar. It also talks about the curses. But let me tell you something. He just got through to every, it's a scripture that says everything that God says, if you trust in him, if you do it his way, that everything your hand touches will prosper. So it didn't say if you cozy up to man, if you try to get in with the clique, if you try to get in with the popular group, if you join this organization because everybody is doing this, if you go over here and try to undermine somebody else to show people that you can do everything and you don't need them. He didn't say that. He says that if you put your trust in him, that everything your hand touches will prosper. He said that if you believe in him, that he'll promote you. He says, Genesis 12 and 2 says that I will make your name great. He didn't say your position. He didn't say your title, your organization. He didn't say your house, your bank account. He didn't say your residence. He didn't say none of that. He said your name great, because it's not about the position or title that you possess. It's about what you do in that position and title. God has given some people influence over other people as leaders. You should be like Abraham and Melchizedek. You should be like Moses, encouraging, building them up, edifying them, wanting the best for them. You shouldn't be like Pharaoh, undermining, sabotaging, plotting, because that's not of God. And so if you are in a leadership position, do right by the people that God has blessed you to be over. Because what God is doing by your, how you treat them, he's going to determine your blessings. And so remember, scripture says you reap what you sow. So God is not marked. So whatever seeds you are sowing of discord towards someone else, if you are in a leadership role, if you are in a role of influence, that's going to come back knocking at your door in due season. And you're not going to understand it, because what goes around comes around. It could be them today. It could be you tomorrow. And so you have to be mindful that when God blesses you to be in a leadership role or in a position of influence, to use that position to edify Christ, to lift Christ up, to praise Christ, to treat people right. Because you know that it was not the people that put you in that position, but it was by the grace of God. And God can give it and he can take away, because that's the God we serve. And so we want to be mindful to understand that when you get into certain places, you was like, well, this person did it. Well, that's the favor of God. God gave you favor with that person. But at the end of the day, it still was God's choice. God is in full control. Nothing happens under the sun that God is not privileged to the information, that he doesn't already know what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next month. He knows what's going to happen in the next few months, next year. He knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years. We don't know. And so we have to put our trust in the person that is omniscient, which means he's all knowing. He's omnipotent, which means he's all powerful, and he's omnipresent. I mean, he's everywhere. At the same time, we serve a big God. Now, the enemy, on the other hand, he has some wits. He knows some things. He knows how to send smoke screens, but he can't be everywhere at the same time. So he got to put people on assignment. And those people are people that have not developed that close relationship with Christ and made him the center or the head of their life. And or those are people that are dealing with some turbulent storms and things that they went through, and now that they did believe, and now they have fallen back from that. And so we just have to pray, because even though we can see the attacks coming at us, the no weapon formed will prosper. It can't affect us in the way that the enemy thinks it will, as long as we keep our hand in God's hand. And so we want to pray for those people, because we don't really know what spirit they're operating in. You can't look at a person and say what their motive is. God says that's why he is the judge. You can't say because this person did this that they can't change. Anybody can change if they accept Christ as their savior. And so as I close, I only got a few more nuggets. We talked about favor. We talked about the lady with the issue of blood. She had this issue about 12 years, and so she, you know, she was ridiculed. People talked about it. You ever been around some people or went through something and you was dealing with it, maybe an illness, maybe your family member or something that was kind of devastating to you or your family, and people just talked about you, laughed about you. I know from personal experience that when, you know, people just got to be all in your business and got to know everything. They just thrive off of it. They got to know everything that happened and why this and why that. And, you know, when you truly are operating in the spirit of God, you don't have to know everybody's business to pray for them. If your true intentions is to pray, you just pray. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. God already knows. He just needs you to be a willing vessel and to stand in the gap, to intercede on their behalf, to pray with them and for them. That's all he needs you to do. You knowing everything that's going on ain't going to help them none, because you don't have the power to change. And so we see that. We got people talking about other people. They making fun of them. Oh, she believed. Let me tell you, for about 12 years, she had this issue. She was hemorrhaging. She went to every doctor she could see. Went all over the place. No help in sight, because you understand that this, even though she was afflicted, she had a predestined purpose, right? She was afflicted, but God healed her. God allowed Jesus to heal her. Let me tell you what she did. She reached out. He was in the crowd. She heard he was going to be in the crowd. Guess what she did? I got to get to him. She was crawling in pain. She didn't allow her current circumstance to prevent her from receiving the power of Jesus. She just knew that. She said, even if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be all right. She had the faith of a mustard seed to crawl, to get up and try to touch him. She wasn't able to walk, but she made sure that she was going to, she was determined. And as a result, he turned. Now, he could have been mean to her, because she touched him. He felt it. But he wasn't. He told her that by her faith, he says, your faith has made you whole. In other words, she got two rejuvenations that day, two healings. She was physically healed of her ailment, and then she had a spiritual rejuvenation. God restored her joy. He restored her. He restored her confidence. Jesus restored her confidence. She needed that. He told her to go in peace. She had been troubled on every side, perplexed, pressed down. So she got a double portion. Jesus restored her physically and spiritually. And then when we talk about Jesus, you know, Jesus is all powerful. But he never turned away someone that wanted to learn about eternal life, that wanted to accept God, to accept him as the Savior. He never turned them away. Even when people walked away, even when Judas betrayed him, he knew he was betraying him. Even when Peter denied him three times, he didn't turn him away. When we mess up, thank God that he doesn't turn us away. He's waiting on us with open arms to return back to him. We have a faithful God, a forgiving God, because he forgives us over and over and over. How many times have we messed up in our lifetime? I know I've messed up a lot. So many times that I'm just grateful and thankful that God has forgiven me and allowed me to see another day, to grace this earth for the amount of years that I have graced it, for me to have a portion of my health and strength, for me to be able to speak of his goodness, for me to have provision, food on my table, a roof over my head, transportation, for him blessing me with traveling grace to and from, things that we take for granted. Just to be able to speak, to see, to hear, to touch. Those are things that we take for granted, but I'm grateful, because who am I to think that I'm so deserving of his blessings? And the most important blessing of all is the gift of life. And he saw fit to wake me up today and my family was doing well. That's a blessing. So many times we allow our trials and tribulations to override the goodness of God, the grace and mercy of God, because we want what we want when we want it. That's human nature. But we have to be mindful to make sure that we allow the Spirit of God, the light of Jesus, to permeate our hearts so that we can think on things of a good report, so that we could seek him in his kingdom of righteousness. And then he'll add all these things to us. It says, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of righteousness, and he'll add all these things to us. In other words, he'll give you some of your wants. He's going to supply your needs, because Psalms 23 says it. Says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Means you don't have to want for anything. He's going to supply it. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all of my needs. Not some, not a few, but all. There's nothing that we stand in need of that God will not provide in his time. And so we have to just be mindful that the favor of God is not fair. There's times that the favor of God is not fair. People are going to look at us one way because we're being blessed. We understand that God's favor attracts attacks. But guess what? It doesn't matter that it attracts attacks because God is in full control. You know, people thought that Daniel was too young to even be considered as a king, to be a prospect as a king. They couldn't believe that a little shepherd boy, defeated a great giant like Goliath, but he had favor. You got to look at that. People think that because of who you are or where you come from, that negates God's promise on your life, and it does not. It does not negate it. In other words, God can choose who he wants to bless, when he wants to bless, and where he wants to bless them at. And so we just have to make sure that we stay in his presence. And so, you know, you think about all the different things because competition is real, and being competitive, there's nothing wrong with that. But I just want to speak to you about what competition does to some people. It changes who they are. It creates jealousy and envy. You think about all the grocery stores, they sell some of the same items. You got Kroger's, you got Walmart, they both sell fruit. And they're two different entities selling the same fruit. But guess what? They are able to stand in the test of time in this competitive market because they both have a niche. They have their own individual market. And now it's some more stores outside of Kroger's and Walmart, but I just used the two. Same thing with restaurants. You got all these different restaurants. Everless, you got a lot of them to serve chicken. Look at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Look at KFC. Look at all these different places to sell chicken strips, Chick-fil-A. Well, guess what? They're all in a competitive market. They got their own unique niche, so they're able to thrive. You got athletes, singers, you know, different people in business in different positions, all unique niche. Every last one of us, God has blessed us with a unique gift, a gifting that will reach a certain group of people that has been assigned to us. Nobody can do what God has called us to do based on the purpose that you are here. So whatever God has gifted me to do, nobody can do it better than me. Whatever God has gifted you to do, nobody can do it better than you. Everybody's not going to like me, and everybody is not going to like you. But what God does is assign the people that he has, give you the people he's assigned to you to uplift them, to encourage them, to encourage them in the Lord. And so the scripture tells us that we are many members of one and one body. In other words, all of us have an assignment. We all have our purpose. And if we work together, we can uplift the kingdom of God. And so no one person can do it by themselves. We're supposed to work together. Just like your body works together. Each organ, each muscle, each part of your body has a specific role. And in order for your body to function, it has to do its job. And so guess what? Your heart knows it needs to pump the blood to get so that you are able to it can get to the different places that it needs to get to. Your lungs know that it has to produce the air. That's your airflow. You understand? So that you are able to breathe. You got all these different limbs, your hands, your feet, your legs, the muscles in your legs, your biceps, your triceps. You got your Achilles, all these different things, your tendons, you got your tibia and your fibula, so you got all these different, there's 206 bones in the body. There's a whole lot of muscles, a whole lot of tendons, a whole lot of organs, everything. Your eyes know what they need to do. Even though you talk about the eye, you got the retina, you got the iris, you got all these different components that have to do their job. And when something goes wrong with our body, that means in some area that something is not able to perform its job. And so our body sees a signal that, hey, you're sick, or that there's an ailment here. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. We have to work together. And when we fall short, we have to encourage one another in Christ so that we can thrive. But you look at all this competitiveness, and we can still thrive as children of the Most High God. We can still thrive in the kingdom of God, but we got to learn to work together. We don't have to outshine somebody else. God has given you your own unique shine, that if you do it his way, you're going to shine anyway. You ain't going to need to outdo nobody or undermine somebody so that you can stand out. Because what happens is, he says that we're set apart anyway. We're a peculiar people. If you follow his guide, you're gonna shine anyway. Some of you might have the question, as I get ready to close, why do people act this way? And I'll say again, it is the spirit. It's the spirit that operates in them. And so we just have to know that there is a man that can work a miracle. We try to figure out, why do people treat us like that? We say that I don't treat them that way, but we can't expect ourselves out of other people. What we must do is pray and treat them accordingly. You can't mistreat them and treat them the way that they treat us. This is why God wants us to put our trust in him. To put our trust in him solely, because man is fickle. Man's support and approval changes with their emotions, but God's faithfulness remains the same. People will always talk and gossip about what they don't understand. And it's not for them to understand God's plan for your life. So don't even fret about the attack. God uses it to elevate you to your next. We're all in training. Some of us are passing our tests and some of us are not. Each trial is a chance for us to grow in faith, to trust God even when we can't trace him, and to not be moved by the wiles of the devil. The enemy is already defeated, and you are already victorious if you allow God to fight your battle. So act like you know that God is in full control, and watch the enemy flee because you stood bold on God's promises. The Bible tells us that the enemy will flee from you, or the enemy will come to you in one direction and flee from you in seven. I'm here to tell you, you have to be mindful of how you treat people, if you're treating them out the spirit of offense, and if you're on the receiving end of an offense, you got to be mindful of how you respond. God still expects for us to respond in righteousness, even when we have been oppressed, mistreated, abused, misused, because God is still in full control. And so I will say this as I close, that God's favor attracts attacks, but even so, God still has your back if you trust in him. God bless and be encouraged until we speak again. Good night.
Some things out for you where you are.